This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. I hope you are well.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Plenty to talk about at the end of this very busy week. Let's start, shall we, with the latest comments from President Trump and perhaps less hawkish at the moment towards the Chinese.
Yeah, that's correct. Basically, we had a little bit of positive news here this morning hit the wire, specifically with Trump saying that the meeting with President Xi in 2 weeks is still tentatively on, which is, again, a very welcomed thing by markets, was perceived as positive news. We saw the stock market specifically overnight down by 1% in the futures exchange. Completely reversed that. We are now back to about break even, slightly positive on the day, at least at the time of recording this. Volatility is very high, so by the time this podcast is being listened to, things could, you know, greatly change in one way or the other. But the positive of the day is that Trump has kind of given the notice that still plans to meet with President Xi, as well as putting out a note that such high tariffs on Chinese goods are not sustainable. That's from his, of course, Truth Social. Very welcomed news by the market to hear something like that. This has been, we were just saying just before the podcast started, this is the Trump trade, right? I mean, this is how we see these things progressing, where there's sort of hardball to start out, and then Trump backs it off and kind of makes friends with his opponents. And we've seen that time and time again here with, you know, a couple weeks or last week around this time, we were hearing from Trump saying, hey, you know, we're not going to meet with, we may not meet with President Xi. Maybe things aren't going well with China. And then 1 week later, you know, complete reversal. And it depends who you ask. Some people would say this is negotiating. Other people say this is chaotic. And you know, markets are taking kind of an interesting response. They're shooting in both directions all over the place. Volatility has really risen in this market. We have the volatility index, specifically the VIX, jumping this morning overnight up to just about 29, which is, you know, the highest VIX that we've had in a while. We've been used to mid-teens VIX readings, and now we're getting some resurgence in uncertainty and volatility in the markets, not least of which we could just make a quick nod to what's happening in the gold market. You're talking about a move up to 4,300 an ounce. We were just at 4,000. Something crazy is definitely going on in the gold market. We'll talk a little bit about some of the uncertainties in the banking sector in just a moment. But overall, Trump kind of reissuing that we are planning to have conversations with China. And that is, of course, perceived as a very positive thing for markets at this time.
Meanwhile, Nick, what is the latest on the government shutdown, which is approaching, I think, 3 weeks? This is going to have repercussions the longer it goes on for. We've already seen at the beginning of this month, we didn't get to receive the non-farm payroll numbers, but it gets much worse than that in many other respects. So what are the prospects at the moment for an end to this crisis?
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, it's a frustrating circumstance, probably most of which for people who have been delayed a paycheck due to this, or perhaps two paychecks. That's, of course, a painful situation if you are somebody, many Americans living paycheck to paycheck, to be kind of pushed off in terms of receiving, you know, compensation for work. So government shutdown is a pain for many people involved. And, you know, government officials, they know this, right? This is the whole idea, is it's sort of a stalemate to try and push agendas, but also find middle grounds to get the other side to agree with you. We've seen this song and dance many times in U.S. history. We are seeing this continue to drag on. And actually looking at the betting markets, Johnny, which is an interesting place to look here around this, they're still expecting that this could draw out into November, as both sides seem very adamant about their positioning. But as you've pointed out, this starts to become a more and more painful thing for people who are, you know, not receiving payments for work. And we've also seen a big uptick in government layoffs, which is something that the Trump administration has been big on. And, you know, to their credit, to an extent, the new dynamic with tariffs, I saw that for the U.S. Government, there was actually a surplus, a very rare surplus, due to the tariff income and layoffs going on in the government. Obviously, there are consequences to layoffs, especially when the government does employ a huge number of Americans. There is impacts potentially on the economy, but it's interesting times to say the least, and it seems like we're going to see this thing draw out for a while, which could arguably be just another reason. We've talked about gold prices shooting higher. I think part of the reason we're seeing gold prices make such a sharp move higher is also due to the uncertainties in Washington, and the gold market may be thinking, well, hey, you know, they're still figuring out their stuff. But regardless of whether they figured out or not, government spending is very unlikely to slow in any meaningful way. And that is leading to central banks around the world. They're cutting interest rates, they're printing money, they're creating, you know, more and more currency. So there's this sort of national debt bubble that seems to be, you know, rising in all parts of the world. And so gold continues to be a place where investors seem to be seeking refuge. I mean, to see such a sharp movement in gold is very rare, and only a few times other than this in history have we seen such sharp rises in such a short period.
Now, earlier on this morning on my side of the Atlantic, Nick, we saw global stocks slide because of jitters around US regional banks. But I note that markets have recovered a bit since those early morning drops.
Yes, that's right, Johnny. I mean, I'm just pulling up an ETF here for the U.S. side of things. The XLF, the financial sector ETF, was down pretty big yesterday from the open to close. We saw a move of 3-odd%. That's a pretty big move for an entire sector in the S&P 500. Now, of course, the real drama was actually in the regional banks, the smaller side of things. We saw some worries about credits. Or credit spreads kind of worrisome there in the markets. We saw, as you just mentioned prior to this, that there was actually sort of follow through into the European session, European banks under stress here as well. Some worries around that world. The bounce back, I would say, is probably a little bit attributable to the comments from Trump. So I do think there's probably still some uncertainties around the banking situation. We did see in 2023, Silicon Valley Bank, some of the blowups there were really spooky to markets and caused precious metals, by the way, to rally quite a bit during that time. So are we possibly seeing a little bit of a resurgence in credit uncertainty? Well, that's very much a possibility. I think, you know, kind of depends what's going to happen next with the economy and the Federal Reserve, as that has the potential to extrapolate that problem. If you raise interest rates like we were in 2022, 2023, that was a big worry. This time, though, I think that there is at least some reprieve that cutting interest rates, relieving that kind of side of things could act to help out the situation. So I don't see a huge blowout potential there, but there is always the possibility of, you know, shocks in supply, shocks in the system, basically. So we'll see if anything bigger happens. But so far, a lot of the banks that we have heard on, the S&P 500, the big players, they have actually had some pretty good earnings, beating estimates and showing pretty good guidance for the quarters ahead.
We've also had in the UK the latest GDP numbers, Nick, and of course we've got the budget at the end of next month, but this is grim reading really for the Chancellor, a meagre 0.1% GDP growth in August. So we really are stuck in the slow lane here in the UK, and it doesn't look great, does it, for the Chancellor ahead of that budget?
Yeah, certainly some challenges ahead for the UK. They have obviously, as you mentioned, the GDP number not dazzling traders or investors. At the same time, still sticky inflation, a problematic scenario for sure. The cost of living in the UK problem has been an ongoing one for some time. And yeah, I mean, definitely a grim outlook there. In that regards, especially, you know, you have other central banks who are, you know, like other central banks, the Bank of England would like to cut interest rates to help out with things. But the challenge with that is the lack of growth tied with sticky inflation makes for a fragile circumstance where, you know, bond yields, long duration bond yields in the UK actually, in my opinion, could continue to actually trend higher despite, you know, the Bank of England potentially cutting interest rates, specifically because investors may say, hey, you know, if the growth is so low in the UK, if they have such a national debt problem, lending money should come at a higher premium, despite the idea of cutting interest rates in the short term. Remember that in the short term, central banks kind of control the short end of the interest rate curve. But in the long term, it is a long duration, 10-year, 20-year, 30-year, that's going to be controlled by the market. So the market, you know, still looking at the GB10Y, the UK government bond yields, what we can see here is still trading at 4.53% and really has not come down despite indications that the Bank of England would like to cut rates.
Finally, Nick, what about the week ahead? What are the highlights to look out for?
Yeah, so next week, in terms of data, we've got some interesting stuff, especially with the government shutdown. We are delayed on stuff for sure still, but let's go through it. Monday, we are kind of quiet. We have on Tuesday, the CPI out of Canada, which could be interesting to see what our northern neighbors here in the U.S. are seeing on their inflation. On Wednesday, we get UK CPI going with our conversation just now. CPI will be very, very important. We're forecasted for 4% inflation for the UK, previously at 3.8%. So again, a troublesome situation, rising inflation expectations with slow growth. So let's hope for the best there. Maybe some lower than expected inflation statistics would be welcomed by most investors on that side of things. When it comes to Thursday, we have CAD retail sales, existing home sales at the US. And on Friday, we do get the CPI report from the US. We have heard confirmation that despite the government shutdown, we are still going to get a CPI print next week. So Friday should be a big day, and we'll see what that brings. We also have manufacturing and services flash PMIs for the US as well as for Europe and the UK next Friday. So next Friday is definitely the big day of potential market volatility, I would say.
Fantastic stuff, Nick. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Sean. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.